What a joy it is this morning to gather together to celebrate and rejoice in what the Lord has done through our church and extending to the ends of the earth in this last summer for those who've gone out on short term. I want to read with for you from Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And it says, "And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." And they spent a long time with the disciples. So Paul and Barnabas, after they had gone out on a missionary journey, they came back and they shared what God had done in their midst. And so this morning, we have the privilege to hear from four people, three different projects, and what the Lord did through them. And so I'm just going to ask people to come right on up, right after one another. First, we'll have Monica Sue, come up to share, and then Shirley, and then Sharon, and then Jesse. And they'll introduce themselves and their project, what they did a little bit more on their own. And I think most of us know who they are, but just for a brief introduction, Monica is a student at UT, and she's in her third, going into her third year there. And then you all know Shirley and Sharon, they're going into 10th and 12th grade here, and Jesse will be a senior at UT Austin, but they'll share a little bit more about that. One more scripture verse, and then we will let Monica start us off. Comes from Isaiah 42:6, and Isaiah 49:6. I think 49:6 is where I want to go. Let's see here. Isaiah 49:6. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." So in Isaiah's prophecy, it was too small a thing that God should only be known among the nation of Israel. But Israel was to be a light to the nations. And so we could substitute a few things in there. "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of America, you know, and to restore the preserved ones of China." Okay, now we do want to reach America. We do want to reach Chinese. "However, I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." So, all right, I'm not supposed to preach this morning, so I'm going to postpone here. And we're going to go ahead and let Monica come on up, Monica, and start off our sharing about how the Lord has been a light to the nations this last summer. So.
Hi, everyone. I'm Monica. And this June, I went to Athens for 10 days with the Austin Stone, my local church in Austin, in partnership with East-West Ministries. And Athens has been a very popular destination for refugees in the midst of the refugee crisis because of its close proximity to the Middle East, along with the very lenient government and immigration policies that are there. So it's very easy for refugees to get into Greece, and from there, a lot of times they are looking to get to other countries in Europe. So while we were there, our main ministry was to really just engage with refugees and to proclaim the gospel in those conversations. We did this by going to multiple parks where they commonly gathered, and there we basically just approached people in pairs and just started conversations with them to get to know them. I quickly realized that they were very willing to share about their lives, especially about their journeys to Athens, They all faced incredible hardships just getting to Athens, and they were very eager to share their stories with other people, even if it was just these strangers from America that they've never met before, like us. After we were able to get to know them and hear about them, we were also allowed to share a little bit about ourselves, especially how our relationships with Jesus had changed our lives. So in a lot of ways, we were able to share the gospel in conjunction with our personal testimonies, and that's how we were able to proclaim the gospel, because in Greece, it's actually not legal to proclaim the gospel openly. So in our week there, we actually were able to see one man come to faith in Jesus, which was just a really incredible blessing to see such a very clear and immediate fruit of our work. But besides from that one man, I also see a lot of great conversations, and I'm really excited for how God will use that for his long-term kingdom. A lot of the Muslims that we shared with, when we initially presented the gospel, they were very well receiving of it, which kind of surprised me. But I realized that a lot of them don't really have a clear understanding of what Christianity is. But they think that although there are differences between Christianity and Islam, they think that essentially they are okay, that they are similar. So in their minds, it's okay if we are Christians and if they are Muslims, because they don't think that we'll go to hell, so it's acceptable for us to be Christians. So that's why a lot of them, when we initially presented it, they were like, yes, oh yeah, I believe Jesus was a good man, and that teaching is good. But as we were able to talk to them more and get deeper and answer more questions, they were able to see just how different at the core beliefs Christianity and Islam were. And for the people who we thought were receptive to the gospel, we were able to connect them to the local workers in Athens so that they can continue teaching them more about Jesus, and that we can continue to pray for them, just for God to show them that Jesus really is the true way. Also, to my surprise, we met a handful of refugees who were already Christian. And the way that they became Christians was all under different circumstances. But all of these refugees who were believers had a few traits in common. They were all very new believers. They had little access to the Bible and other resources to grow in their faith. And most of their family and friends were still Muslim, and they had little Christian community. So when we encountered these Christians, we were able to teach them more about Jesus and just sharing stories from the Bible. There was one man that I didn't meet personally, but someone else on my team met, and he had only had access to Matthew, but he had memorized the entire book of Matthew just because he thought it was so precious. So that just gives you a feeling of just how little information they have, but how much faith that they had as well. At the end of the week, since we weren't able to stay long-term for discipleship, we were able to connect them to local house churches, who could then continue that process of teaching them and just giving them a community with more mature believers as well. So personally, on this trip, I was reminded of God's enormous power. Oftentimes I forget that the God of the Bible, who was constantly doing miracles, is the same God that we have today. And many of the stories that I heard, I just realized that God is still protecting his children in miraculous ways. And even in my work there during that week, I found myself constantly praying and constantly relying on God to work, just in small things like overcoming language barriers, and just making people available to talk to us during that week. And when people were receptive to what we had to say, I honestly knew that it was all because of God and not because of our own strengths and own talents. But when I contrast that with the way that I often do ministry at home and at school, I realize that I'm often relying on my own planning and my own talents, and it's just very self-reliant and not putting much faith in God. So especially with this coming school year, just starting in a week, I really want to remember that this experience that I've had, and really depending on God and knowing that everything that happened that week was because of God. And so even though I'm going back to school and it's in an environment where I'm more comfortable, and I've been at this school for now going into my third year, so I'm pretty comfortable in everything that's going on, I just want to have that feeling of knowing that there's nothing that I can do without God. So that's just a little bit about my trip. I really want to thank a lot of the people here. You guys supported me financially and in prayer, and I really appreciate that. Even though I was going with a different church, it was just very encouraging to be sent by you guys and to be supported by this church as well. So thank you guys, and I think Shirley is up next.
Thanks, Monica. Come on up, Shirley. Just can you say where were most of the folks, the refugees, from? Come on up, Shirley. Or just are you allowed to say much, or just?
Most of the refugees that we encountered were from Afghanistan and Pakistan, mostly because those were the people that we had translators for. There were a lot of Syrian refugees in Athens as well, but they were generally in the camps rather than in the city, and we didn't have the resources to engage with them.
All right. Okay. Thanks again. All right.
Hi, guys. I'm Shirley, and I, along with 8 other students, went to the Global Gates mission trip in June. And our team partnered with another group of 4 from the Hayward Church in San Francisco. And basically what we did was just we went into an Afghan area to learn about their culture, and we sifted. So, like, sifting was just the process of us going to the stores to find, like, people of peace. And those were just people who were open to talk about the gospel. If we found them, then we would give them the contact information of the long-term team to follow up and have more spiritual conversations. While we, like, talked to the Afghan shop owners, I definitely saw God, like, working in them when they openly shared about their faith and, like, their lives in general. A lot of them expressed their negative feelings towards how Muslims are currently being portrayed in the media, and just before going on the trip, I had no idea I would, like, actually be able to connect with Muslims on a spiritual level. And the Global Gates leader, Tim, often said, they're so close yet so far, which, like, means that they believe almost the same thing, but they just, like, understand it differently. For example, like, they believe in the existence of Jesus Christ, but they only believe that he was a prophet and not the Son of God. And as someone like me who has been to church all my life, I just took my relationship with God for granted. And only after this trip, I realized that there's so much freedom in our faith. Muslims don't believe in salvation through faith. Rather, they believe that they must dedicate their lives to working and doing good deeds so that they might have the chance to go to heaven. And they experience a lot of uncertainty because there's no definite way to tell if they're good enough to be saved. So, on one of the days, some of the team members and I went to the homework club, and it was just a community gathering of kids, mostly Hindus and Latinos, and I was in awe with how the volunteers and pastors just made the place so hospitable, and it felt like home. And so we just made some crafts with them and, like, had some snacks, and surprisingly, like, they liked us. One of the kids I looked after, her name was Ariana, and we immediately became close. Like, she told me how the homework club was her favorite part of the day, and she found most of her, like, friends and community there. At first, like, prior to going there, I just thought that we'd entertain the kids and, like, have some fun. But instead, I learned that what was more important was to create a loving and cheerful atmosphere for them. And just by serving the kids, I learned that missions also focused on serving and being in community with the kids. Basically, through this trip, I learned that my knowledge of Muslims came mainly from what the media portrayed and not like actually from getting to know them. And God showed me to be more bold in sharing my faith with others and how we can be missionaries wherever we go. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sharon, and I also had the opportunity earlier this summer to go to the San Francisco Bay Area with a group of the youth from here, as well as with Global Gates and the church in Hayward. This is my first mission trip, and I definitely had ideas beforehand about just what missions look like and what it means to be on a mission. Just reading about Global Gates before, I realized that this wasn't going to be like if I went to Mexico or Kenya, but I never imagined, I guess, how comfortable we would be there just living and eating. And even the places where we shared the gospel, because we were going to Afghan markets, I thought, oh, it'll be like an open street market. Like it would almost be like I stepped into a whole new world. But I really saw that it wasn't that different from something that I might see here, like maybe in Chinatown. And so as I realized how similar really Katy and Fremont were, I realized that a lot of what I was doing there, I honestly could do here also. And I just realized that the only thing different really was my mission mindset, and that when I was here, the only thing that the reason I wouldn't share was just because I wasn't on a mission. And so I was just comfortable, and I was immersed just in the worldly things going on around me. So since CMC and just throughout this semester and focus, I've heard about this like constant mission mindset. But I really saw it come into play at this trip. We learned just about how to condense our testimony, linking the gospel to it, starting these conversations with people, especially Muslims, and then making these conversations into a gospel sharing. And yeah, both the tools that we were given as well as the experience I got when I just was able to talk to these different people, it really grew my confidence just in being able to share the gospel. And going forward, I really feel God just challenging me to be able to truly live my life for Him, to just constantly be looking for and making opportunities to share the gospel, and that I'll just be able, I just hope that especially as we go into the school year, that I'll be able to really build relationships with those around me, just to be more open and intentional. And I'm just continuing to work and pray for the growth of God's kingdom, especially here in our church.
Thank you, Sharon. And so the final person sharing is Jesse. And so glad he's hot off the plane. Just got in last night, so we praise God. Two nights ago. Okay, well, it sounds better if I said last night. But anyway, okay, two nights ago. Praise God, he's safe. There was some danger in where he was, so we just praise God. So turn over to Jesse here.
Yeah, thank you. And, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to be able to share with you all this morning. My name is Jesse Hsu. And, yeah, I decided to go a more technological route, I guess. So we'll see how it goes, see if it works. Okay, so I go to the University of Texas at Austin. I'm a chemical engineering major. My expected graduation is May 2017. And I moved to Katy around 5 years ago. And to be honest, I've never really been really involved in this church. And that was primarily because it was only until college where I really started following Jesus. So in a lot of ways, I do appreciate the church here continually supporting me through this mission trip, and the people here who have prayerfully supported me and helped me through just this time while I was at Turkey. And so just to give a little bit of an overview for Turkey, the population is around 79.4 million people, which is around a quarter of the U.S. population. During the time that I was there, there were several tumultuous political events, as you might have seen, like bombings and coup events that occurred. Thankfully, and praise God, that I was not, and my team was not affected by any of these events. We were in a different, less populated city, so we saw some of the effects of it, but for the large part, we weren't directly targeted by these events. And the population over there is largely Turkish. However, there are several large minority populations. So if you could see the charts there, the first, it might be kind of hard to see, but the green is showing the percentage of people who are Islamic or Muslims. And there's this tiny sliver, you can't even really see it, that's blue, which shows the amount of people who are Christians. And then the yellow segment is the people who are other different types of religions. But the thing is, even within Islam, there are different sects of Islam. So if you see on the graph on the right, there's a light blue section. And that light blue section is a specific people group that we were reaching out to called Arab Alevis. And they are Shiite Muslims, while the majority of Turkey is actually Sunni Muslims. And so these people, they're generally more marginalized because they're a different religious group. And just to give a brief overview of the trip, I went with Frontiers, and many of you may know who Alex Lee is. He used to go to this church, he used to live in Katy as well. And he was the one who first went on this trip, and I connected through him to be able to know who the team was and everything like that. And he was also a chemical engineer. I'll be talking more about what I did later. But anyways, this is my team. So the top left pictures are pictures of me with an Australian family. They've been in Turkey, I think, for 3 or 4 years now. And, learned some Australian phrases from them and everything like that. And then the bottom, the other pictures are pictures of with me and my team lead's family. They're from America. Actually, they're from their father's from Dallas, Texas, which is actually pretty cool. This is my team. They're absolutely great people. They helped supported me, helped me learn Turkish, drove me around everywhere. They're there for the long haul, and they're the long-term team over there. And so they've been faithfully serving in Turkey for several years now. And, they welcomed me with open arms and just were really hospitable to me. And, okay, I guess the pictures didn't turn out too well, but... So these are the pictures of just the people I met in Turkey, and there are just a bunch of different people I did meet. If you can see on the kind of the left-hand side of the pictures, those are the refugees that we were able to serve in Turkey. So Turkey has a very, very large refugee population similar to Greece, and a lot of people over there live in camps or stuff like that where the conditions... to be frank, aren't that good. And so we were there to serve them and to be able to give them supplies that they needed. And all the other pictures are really just of me with different Turkish people that I met during the 2 months that I was there. And primarily, the person I was really connected with a lot was my host, Ergin, and he's in the center picture and the bottom right picture. And so he was a guy who accepted me. And he was my host during the time, so I stayed at his house. And he was very curious about the Bible. He was reading the Injil, or the Turkish version of the Bible, and generally just had a lot of questions. He spoke English, which is really good, because obviously I don't speak Turkish very well. And so, it just was a pleasure and a blessing to be able to serve him and talk to him about the Bible and just be able to, connect with him further and further. And so what I was really doing over there and my role over there was working for the company TWL, or Technology with Limits. So you can't just go to Turkey and say you're a missionary, because then they'll kick you out. So what a lot of people do is they'll have different roles. For example, the Australian family that I showed earlier, they're photographers in Turkey. And my team lead and his family from America, they've started this a chemical plating company, which is basically you take jewelry and you put gold on it using galvanization. And so even though this company is one of their roles that they're doing, their primary thing that they're trying to do is reach out to the Arab Alevis in this area. And so the city that we were in was actually extremely strategic for these purposes, because a lot of Arab Alevis lived in this area, and a lot of the shop owners and the customers that we actually had were Arab Alevi. And so I think very similar to what a lot of people were sharing earlier, there's a very different culture in Muslim culture where people are very free to share about their religion and politics and pretty much like everything that we kind of think is like taboo in America, they kind of just freely share about it. And so whenever you go to a business meeting, you're able to just talk about religion and politics and all different sorts of things before even getting to the business part of things. So that was definitely very different. And being in this role, I was primarily just helping this company run. I was supplying the chemicals and helping them create the products that they needed. And so that was kind of what I was doing over there outside of also reaching out to the different people that I was meeting with. And so, just some prayer points at the end. Praise God for a safe trip. Definitely a lot of things could have gone wrong, but praise God it didn't. And then praise God for the ways in which my team were able to serve. It's definitely a huge privilege that we're able to serve in that capacity and that we're able to use this business method to be able to serve the people of Turkey. And just things to continually pray for is praying for the safety, vision, and energy for the long-term team. The amount of commitment and sacrifice that I've seen people go through, just even learning Turkish, you have to lay several years of your life down and just focus on mainly learning Turkish. And that's something that doesn't come very lightly. Also, several of the families there, they go with their children as well. So even being willing to sacrifice their own like education or different things, giving up a life in America to be able to reach the lost, really. Also praying for the people of Turkey to come to know Jesus. Several of them are very open, and especially I think these last political events that have happened have really opened up people to be open to the gospel. And you know, even though the events that have happened in Turkey seem bad on the outside, God works all things to his good. And so, we're just continually praying that, the people of Turkey will come to know Jesus. And I think the encouragement I want to leave off with is that, we should pray for ourselves to serve the Lord in whatever capacity he calls us to. So I think really the most significant thing I've seen in this mission trip was that no matter what your skills are, no matter what your major, no matter what your occupation, you can serve the kingdom. Like I said, we use business as the primary way to reach out to people. People use photography. Me as a chemical engineer, I was able to serve my team in that capacity. I saw people in America who were working on accounting work for the business or IT work for the business. There's just many different and unique ways that we can contribute our talents and gifts to serve the kingdom of God. So I think, especially as an encouragement for people who are going to college or going to go to college, even your major is something you can use to really further the kingdom of God. And it doesn't necessarily have to be overseas. There are plenty of opportunities within the United States for people to serve. And so, during these 2 months, a lot of things have happened. I have plenty of stories, such as like the time where the TSA thought I was going to join ISIS or something. But that's a story for another time. So if you want to learn about it, go ahead and ask me. But I'm always open to share more about my story. But thank you all.
All right. Appreciate each one sharing. And we're going to pray for the different areas and people that our four short-termers went to in just a minute. And so, praise God. And I want to follow up on what Jesse has shared. And we do give thanks for many of us who prayed, who contributed financially. Our church did also contribute financially to these projects. And so give thanks for that. And those are things we can continue to do to pray for our long-term missionaries and for the works that are here. And we can continue to give financially for the spread of the gospel. And just like these went out this summer, next summer, or in between now and next summer, maybe some of us from in here will go out on a short-term trip for 2 weeks or 2 months or even longer. And so let us continually be open to that, as well as for perhaps even longer or for long term, might the Lord call us to go to Turkey or to Greece to work with refugees or to some other parts of the world. And at the same time, where we are right now, let us reach out to those who are culturally similar to us, but even those who are culturally different than we are. And reading the verse again, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the USA. Well, no, of the nations, right? So that my salvation may reach to the end of the city. No, it doesn't say that. To reach to the end of the earth. And so let us be available to whatever and wherever and whenever God would have us to call go. So let's pray. Can we put up that last slide again of the prayer points for what Jesse had asked us to pray for? And in addition to that, can we also pray for the refugee work in Athens as they are working with various refugees? We don't have that on the PowerPoint, but I'm sure you can remember it. And also for the Global Gates work in the San Francisco area as they are also working with Afghans and Hindus and other religions. So would you just pair up with someone right next to you and pray? Let's just take 2 minutes to pray for these prayer points and the other prayer points. And if you do not feel comfortable, then just have a moment of silence and maybe listen in to those who are praying around with you, and in your spirit, just agree with those who are praying around you. But for those who are comfortable with praying, pair up with someone right next to you, and let's just spend 2 minutes in prayer. And then I'll close us after that, and we'll have the worship team to come up and lead us in a response song at the end of the prayer. So let's take 2 minutes now to pray.